Of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke chapter 13, if you are able to stand, would you do so now in order to receive the gospel? At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." "Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, but still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Things aren't always as they appear. I came across an old piece of poetry this week. In fact, it is set to music in a hymn, but it doesn't appear in the current edition of our hymnals. James Russell Lowell wrote it more than a century ago. He begins, and you may recognize the old hymn from the first line, "Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide in the strife of truth with falsehood for the good or evil side." But it was his last stanza that really caught my imagination, and this is what it says. "Though the cause of evil prosper, yet 'tis truth alone is strong." Things are not always as they appear. Though the cause of evil prosper, yet 'tis truth alone is strong. Though her portion be the scaffold and upon the throne be wrong, yet the scaffold sways the future. And behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. Things are not always as they appear, though it appears in the world in which we live, and it may appear in your own life and in your own family, perhaps, that misfortune and difficulty and unfairness have taken over. Well, things are not always as they appear, for behind the dim unknown, which is to say, as difficult to perceive and understand as it may be, behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. Things are not always as they appear. A couple of weeks ago, I read a story that I want to share with you. It was a story about, and I have some pictures to help illustrate. The story began as being about the old film actor Lee Marvin. He was being interviewed. There's a picture of Lee Marvin in his better days. He was being interviewed about his military service in World War II. Now, Lee Marvin always played tough guys in the movies, you remember? In movies like The Dirty Dozen and The Delta Force and The Spikes Gang and lots of others. Well, the interviewer said, "Lee, I'll bet a lot of people were unaware of your military service. You were a Marine and you landed on Iwo Jima in the initial landing there, and during the course of that action you were severely wounded and you earned the Navy Cross." And Lee Marvin's response was this: "Yes, I got shot square in the bottom," he said, "and they gave me the Navy Cross for securing a spot about halfway up Suribachi. Bad thing about getting shot up on a mountain is that guys getting shot hauling you down. But I served under the bravest man I ever knew. We both got the Navy Cross on the same day, but what he did for his made mine look cheap in comparison. That dumb guy actually stood up on Red Beach and directed his troops to move forward and get off the beach. Bullets flying by, mortar rounds landing all around, and he stood there as the main target of the gunfire so that he could get his men to safety. And he did that on more than one occasion because his men's safety was more important than his own life. That sergeant and I have been lifelong friends. His name is Bob Keeshan, and there's a picture of Bob Keeshan coming up next. You and the world know him as Captain Kangaroo. Now, and then the next shot is two of them together. Now, if you look at these two pictures, at these two guys, which one would you guess is the tough one? Things aren't always as they appear. You can't look at a person and know by looking or from their appearance the character that resides within them. You can't tell by looking which person has the more resilient character and the tougher constitution. We tend to assume, don't we, that those who are most photogenic or those who are most talented are always the best. They do the best. They are the best. They make the best lifelong partners. But you can't tell by looking. Things aren't always as they appear, you see. Well, after I read this story a few weeks ago, this story about Lee Marvin and Bob Keeshan, I decided I would use it in my sermon today, but I wanted to do a little more research on it. And I discovered quickly that there isn't much about that story that's true. Most of it is made up. It isn't so at all. Lee Marvin was wounded in World War II, but it was on the island of Saipan, not on Iwo Jima. He received the Purple Heart, not the Navy Cross. But most significant was that he and Bob Keeshan never served together. In fact, when Bob Keeshan enlisted in the service when he was 18, the war was nearly over and he never saw any military combat at all. I don't know about you, but when I see something in print, I tend to assume that it's true. But things are not always as they appear. Somebody made this story up, and it's almost entirely fiction. It's the kind of hero story that I want to believe, though. It's the kind of story that we all want to believe because it sounds so good, but it isn't so at all. Things are not always as they appear, whether it's in writing or coming from someone whom we believe has a good reputation, things are not always as they appear. And that was Jesus' message. I'm done with those pictures now. You can go back to looking at me. Sorry about that. That was Jesus' message to his followers too. Things are not always as they appear. Jesus was doing some difficult teaching. He was grappling with some tough issues. In the chapter before the one that we read, he said, "I came to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Do you think I've come to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Those aren't the kinds of things we expect Jesus to be saying. They were difficult for his followers to hear and understand. And so they pressed Jesus a bit further with some challenging issues, with some questions they weren't understanding. Some who were with Jesus told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. There were many occasions when the Jewish people, oppressed as they were by the Romans, became rebellious in Jerusalem. Particularly when they came into the city to worship at the temple on festival days. Great crowds would come to the city to worship, and there was a tendency to become a bit unruly, as you can imagine. Pilate, the Roman governor, when some of that unruliness and uncontrolled behavior began to take place in one or another quarter of the city, Pilate would send his military personnel to quiet those disturbances. And deadly force was the rule of the day. So those who were talking to Jesus referred to one of those occasions, undoubtedly one which had recently occurred, when those who had come to worship at the temple became unruly or appeared to be, and the governor responded with military force, killing some of those who had come to worship. And then they refer to the falling of the Tower of Siloam when 18 people were killed. And we don't have any historical reference for what that was about. But the Pool of Siloam, as you know, was in Jerusalem, and that was the source of much of the city's drinking water. And there was an aqueduct from outside the city which fed the Pool of Siloam. And so a tower, the Tower of Siloam, we assume, was a watchtower of some kind there, which was provided to guard or to watch over the city's water supply, the pool and the aqueduct that fed it. At some time or another, that tower or a portion of it fell and killed 18 people. And so, in light of those two incidents, Jesus' followers ask him this question. Do you think that because these people suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all the others? And Jesus' response was, in effect, things are not always as they appear. Folks assumed in those days, as we are still likely to assume more often than we will admit, they assumed that a person who suffered some misfortune was in fact being punished for their sins. And the worse the misfortune, well then the worse the sin must have been to cause such punishment. And conversely, those whose lives were comfortable and wealthy and free from trouble were assumed to be people of good character, and they were free from sin. But you know, things are not always as they appear. There's a certain randomness in life that doesn't add up. There's not always a neat and clean cause and effect relationship between everything. So Jesus' insight is that all of us are sinners in need of repentance. We, you and I, just as much as others who suffer great misfortune, unless we repent of our sin, unless we present ourselves to God, we will all perish. Then Jesus went on to tell them a parable. A fig tree fails to bear fruit after 3 years, and the owner of the vineyard orders to have it cut down so he can make room for something else that's going to be fruitful. But the gardener appeals to him, "Give it one more year. Let me fertilize it and care for it a bit longer." The gardener, you see, knows that things are not always as they appear to be. There's more to it than meets the eye. There's always reason to hope. And that is how God regards us and how we regard one another when we see each other with God's eyes. You see a child acting out in destructive and hurtful ways, and you assume that that child is mean and uncaring, but things are not always as they appear. It is likely that that child has been hurt and is behaving out of that woundedness. Things are not always as they appear. A colleague at work is withdrawn and surly, saying mean and hostile things to everybody who encounters him in the office. All of this not because he's displeased with you or his job, but because his wife has just learned of her own terminal illness. Things are not always as they appear. A well-dressed man comes into a bank carrying a fine leather briefcase, undoubtedly to make a sizable deposit. His attire gives no one any reason to be alarmed. But in fact, in the briefcase there is a weapon which he uses to rob the bank. Things are not always as they appear. Some years ago, a teacher was driving home one winter day in Harrisburg after school. As she was driving up the street, she saw a teenage boy walking along on that cold, blustery day, and he didn't have a coat. He was obviously cold, so she stopped and offered him a ride. He got in her car, and he was a friendly young man, but he was obviously mentally limited in some way. She felt sorry for him and the poverty in which he lived, not able to afford a coat for the winter. He was not going home, but he was going to another place where he went after school and attended a program regularly. So she dropped him off there and gave him a card. She gave him a card with her name and number on it and told him that if he needed anything, he should call her. Well, a few days later, she received a telephone call. Not from the boy, however, from his father. He wanted to express his appreciation to her for helping his son that cold day when he had forgotten his coat at school. Imagine her surprise when she learned that she was talking to the governor of Pennsylvania, Richard Thornburg. Things are not always as they appear. The boy was not poor, an unfortunate child walking to and from school, uphill both ways, without a coat through the cold winter. Wasn't that at all? He was, in fact, the governor's son. Things are not always as they appear. I told that story on Wednesday night upstairs at my Bible study group. And as I finished telling that story, Donna Heilman spoke up and she said, "That teacher was my aunt. Her name was Hilda Gibble. And she's the one who stopped and offered Pete Thornburg a ride that cold winter day." It's nice to have your stories confirmed every now and then. So I didn't have to defend that one as being true. Who could have imagined that they would encounter God incarnate walking the dusty roads of ancient Galilee? But there he was, teaching and healing among an oppressed and enslaved people in a far-off, forgotten corner of the world. Things are not always as they appear. Who could have imagined that the life and ministry of such a person would form the turning point of all of human history and offer hope and salvation to all people? Things are not always as they appear. When Jesus was asked about how God views us and holds us accountable, he said many things. Among the things he said was this: "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Things are not always as they appear. Those who think themselves good and holy are just as much in need of repentance as those who cooperate willingly with evil. Who would have thought that good and gracious people like ourselves are just as much in need of repentance, just as much in need of God's grace and God's forgiveness as anyone else you might imagine? Things are not always as they appear. All this because the God whom we worship and serve is not like a harsh judge standing over us, snarling and anxious with penalties for our failures. Our God is one who extends himself in love and compassion. Tend these folks for another year. Fertilize them and prune them with grace and care. Even they can be fruitful for my kingdom. Things are not always as we expect them to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.